Hi everyone, I hope you're doing well and enjoying seeing each other again in person if you've been able. So this weekend we're going to look at another of the Bible's lesser known characters, specifically Abigail, known in this story as the wife of Nabal. However, she's much more than just some man's wife, as we shall find out. So when I first started looking at the story of Abigail, I struggled to see any kind of groundbreaking revelations. But the more I read about her, the more I think that we can learn from her response to the situations in which she finds herself. For me, and maybe for you, it can sometimes, I think, be difficult to link these Old Testament stories into the bigger overall picture of Jesus coming to save humankind. But I think Abigail's actions also have an important role to play on the family line, which would ultimately lead to Jesus. So the passage on which this is based is 1 Samuel 25, which hopefully you've had a chance to read as part of the Spark service. So it's set in around 1060 BC and starts with the death of Samuel. And Samuel was quite a significant person, an important counsellor in the court of King Saul. And Saul and Samuel didn't really get on that well, but given his important position before death, he was an important protector of David, the future king. So with Samuel out of the picture, David no longer has a protector from Saul, and shortly afterwards is basically kicked out and is essentially out in the wilderness as a fugitive. And as David is wandering around, he comes across some land in Carmel, owned by this very wealthy chap, Nabal. And he decides to look after the flocks of the sheep and the goats on this land and protect them from bandits, wolves, and anything else that might come to bring them harm. And after a while, David needs food for his men. So by way of fair reasoning, he sends 10 of his guys to go and see Nabal for some food. And in exchange for the help which David and his men have given him, he sends them with the words saying, long life to you, good health to you and your household. You know, it's all quite good mannered. So this is where we see Nabal into the story. And we learn quite early on that he's not a good person. Actually, he's described as surly and mean in his dealings. He's known to be arrogant and essentially not a nice guy to deal with. Incidentally, at this point, we also learn that he has an intelligent and beautiful wife called Abigail. So despite his considerable wealth, he basically refuses to help David and his men and treats them with total disregard, saying, "Who is this David? Why should I bother to help these guys coming from who knows where?" And as you can imagine, David doesn't look favourably on this, and he tells his men to strap on their swords, as well as him picking up his own. And this isn't just a few angry blokes, this is around 400 men, and then there was another 200 odd that stayed back to watch the camp. So here we are in a situation where David is set on his own version of justice. He's got damaged pride and he wants revenge for the disrespectful way in which Nabal has treated him. Shortly after then, one of Nabal's servants gets wind of this situation and goes straight to Abigail, explaining how David's men were good people and had helped them, effectively protecting their household. And the situation was serious. They were about to come under attack and something needed to be done. And here's the first thing I think we learn about Abigail. It's pretty unusual for the landowner's wife to be consulted, but clearly Abigail was known for listening and had an ability to make a wise judgment in such a critical time as this. In the culture of the time, it took real courage for the woman to stand up and speak out in a situation, especially against the head of the household. Over the years, she developed a special relationship with the servants, which is pretty clearly not the case for Nabal. Verse 17 says, "Disaster is hanging over our master and his whole household. He is such a wicked man that no one can talk to him." So here's the second thing I think we can learn from Abigail. In verse 18, it says three words, Abigail acted quickly. She recognized the importance of making the right decision in the right time. And how often do we recognize the need for action, but we use the "I'll think about it later" approach? So often the thought leaves our mind and the opportunity to act in God's name in that situation just passes us by. And I know I can certainly be guilty of that. But she acted quickly. She gathered 200 loaves of bread, 2 skins of wine, 5 sheep, 60 pounds of grain, loads of raisins, figs, and bunged it all some donkeys. And then she tells the servants to go ahead, but not to inform her husband. And Abigail follows up with a donkey and heads down into this ravine where David and his men are waiting, about to launch their assault on this household. And just to think about the level of courage that it took her to head out into this highly volatile situation towards a powerful and emotional guy with a bruised ego, leading 400 guys all with swords and literally an axe to grind. And this is within the backdrop of the relationship with her husband not being a good one. It's potentially abusive, and certainly someone that would have not taken kindly to the fact that she was going behind his back, going against his word to try and resolve this situation and protect the household. I'm not sure I would be willing to do such a thing, I'll put it that way. I think the level of courage here is incredible. So David says about Nabal, "He has paid me back evil for good. May God deal with David, be it ever so severely, if by morning I leave alive one male of all who belong to him." Basically, he's saying, "How dare you withhold food from me and my men after all that we have done for you? We've protected your livestock, your household, and this is how you choose to repay us." But into this highly volatile situation, Abigail chooses not to bring a sword, nor does she bring some complex argumentation about how the food was sent but it ended up getting lost in the post, nothing like that. She acts with complete humility, and her first act is to get off her donkey and bow before David with her face on the ground. She says, "Pardon your servant, my lord. Let me speak to you." By the way, for the purpose of this, she refers to David as "my lord," which is different from "the lord," which I'm sure you all have noticed in the text. And she says, "Pay no attention to my wicked husband, Nabal. He is a fool, and I didn't see the men you sent." Next, she says something which is critical for the bigger picture. "And now, my lord, surely as the Lord your God lives and as you live, since the Lord has kept you from bloodshed and from avenging yourself with your own hands, may your enemies and all who are intent on harming you, my lord, be like Nabal." And then she goes on to say, "When the Lord has fulfilled for my lord every good thing he promised concerning him and that has appointed him ruler over Israel, my lord will not have on his conscience the staggering burden of needless bloodshed of having avenged himself. And when the Lord your God has brought my lord success, remember your servant." That last bit about remembering your servant looks forward to quite an important part of the story, as I'm sure you may have already worked out. But here I think she's not only telling David not to burden his conscience with the bloodshed of an entire household, but rather to let God worry about the fate of Nabal. She's also foretelling that David will be a future leader, the king over Israel. So within this passage, there are a number of prophecies from this wise woman, which is again pretty significant within the context of the culture and the wider message of the Bible, where God chooses to use both women and men for the growing of his kingdom on earth. And David's response to Abigail's plea is quite amazing, saying, "If you had not come quickly to meet me, not one male belonging to Nabal would have been left alive by daybreak. I have heard your words and granted your request." So her wisdom, timing, courage, and humility all led to a significant U-turn in David's response to Nabal. And I think Abigail is giving us quite a bit to think about today. So firstly, a little bit more on these qualities that she shows. So wisdom. Her servants knew to go to her with such an important decision, trusting that the right thing would be done, that she had the diplomacy to approach the situation in the right way. Wisdom in explaining to David the impact that his actions may have on his future as the king of Israel. So God acted through Abigail. And when we look at David's life, I think he probably had enough situations to deal with without adding this one to his conscience. And secondly, timing. We've heard how she acted quickly. And had she not, David and his men would have already come to the household and basically brought complete destruction on that whole place, and certainly the men within that place. So let's use this to challenge ourselves to act when we feel the Spirit calling us to a particular situation. The third thing I think we learn from her is courage. Without the support of her husband, she takes it on herself to go out into the wilderness to meet a huge bunch of guys who are fixed on bloodshed. The situation could have turned out very differently, and certainly would have done had she not acted with the boldness in which we read about here. And finally, humility. Abigail manages to defuse the situation by lowering herself, literally her face to the ground, and taking her husband's sin on herself. Her careful choice of words and language show complete humility before David, and she took the blame that she didn't deserve on herself so that her household may be able to live. An amazing similarity, I think, to the way that Jesus acts over 1,000 years later, or around 1,000 years later. And through speaking with wisdom, truth and humility, the situation was changed for the better. God used her to keep David from bloodshed, to keep the future king on a much better path than what he was due to be on had he gone ahead with his plan for vengeance. And this is all from a woman with a difficult background, and labelled even in this story as the wife of ultimately a foolish and unkind husband. So when Abigail returns home, going back to the story, it's no surprise that Nabal is holding a banquet, we're told, like that of a king. And again, using her judgment, Abigail decides to wait until the next morning when he's sobered up to explain what she's done. And as soon as she did so, he basically has a heart attack and dies a few days later as the Lord strikes him down. Unsurprisingly, David is actually quite happy about this. And this is where the bit about remember your servant comes into play. So again, unsurprisingly, David does actually remember the wise, humble, beautiful woman who came to meet him in the ravine in the wilderness and wastes no time asking her to become his wife. It's a smooth move. But jokes aside, it's easy to see that the qualities that David saw in this incredible woman. And I think that we can take a lot from this story into the situations that we find ourselves in on a daily basis. I'm not for one moment suggesting that any of this is easy to act out, particularly when we're talking about the very difficult kind of relationship in which Abigail found herself in with her husband and the lengths that it took to defy him. But I do think that we can learn from and reflect on Abigail's demonstration of these God-given gifts of wisdom, courage, and humility. And no matter what our gender or background, we can be used to do incredible things in the name of Jesus. I think that's a message that's especially important for the young women being raised in the church today who can play such a powerful role in the church's impact on society. And from David's perspective, he learned through this exchange to trust God's bigger picture. Even when he was tired, when he was hurt, when he was upset, he trusted in the bigger plan and listened to those who God had sent to deliver this important message to him. So thanks so much for listening, and I hope you have some great discussions around the follow-up questions on Sunday.